Come be a part of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics with your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. Hear the voices of liberty speaking all across America. Doc Holliday provides thought-provoking interviews and commentary about the issues and actions that are afflicting this country and what we need to do to get America back on track. Get fired up. Get inspired. Get on board with Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right now.
Wow, once again, that's the sound of rock cracking, and we had a great opening, and we got a great show. We're glad you're listening to us. This week, it's Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. I'm your host, Ed Holliday. You're listening to us on webtalkradio.net. That's webtalkradio.net. So much to talk about. What a show we got packed in for you. Let me tell you what's up for the show this week. We got to talk about the State of the Union address, and there's some things the president's going to push: immigration, the sequesterization that's due imminently in just a couple of weeks, and also gun control. He'll be pushing those things in his State of the Union address, and Doc Holliday is going to talk about some of those things. Well, I'll talk a little bit about everything. We're going to get into some immigration, because you know last week's show we really hit the immigration issue with Marco Rubio's plan and what he expects, and we really want to follow up on that with some very important items that you need to hear that more than likely you've not heard about. So that's going to be coming up in today's show. Also, at the end, we got Doc Holliday's Tombstone of the Week Award. It's going to an extreme liberal group called the Southern Poverty Law Center, and its hate map needs to be buried 6 feet beneath the tombstone before somebody gets buried 6 feet beneath the tombstone. And we're going to tell you why it gets this week's Doc Holliday's Tombstone of the Week Award at the end. So make sure you listen to that. Very, very important to know what's going on, because you won't hear it in the mainstream media. Now, let's get right into today's show. I'm telling you that this rock splitting politics, it's moving and shaking, and we've had some movers and shakers on this show in the past, and just this last couple of weeks, some of them making national headlines. And I'm going to start with our friend Jonathan Kahn. If you remember, a few weeks ago, we had Jonathan Kahn on this show talking about his best-selling book, The Harbinger, and he is not a liberal by any means, and somehow, I don't know how, but the Presidential Inauguration Committee picked him, Pastor and Rabbi Jonathan Kahn, to speak at the presidential inauguration, the president's inauguration prayer breakfast. Did he ever speak? So I'm going to play a clip from that. So I'm going to play that clip in the second half of the show, just before we do the Tombstone of the Week Award. So make sure you listen to that. But let's get right into we're going to talk about immigration, some build on what we did last week. And this is, I just got to tell you, there's some things that it just blows your mind when you think, why are we talking about immigration reform when we have these things going on? Let me tell you, the House Judiciary Committee had a hearing on the Capitol Hill, and the National Immigration and Custom Enforcement Council 118 of the American Federation of Government Employees President, Chris Kane, was there, and he testified that immigration reform basically said it's a joke. But don't listen to me. Listen to him right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics as he was on Capitol Hill before the House Judiciary Committee. And now I want you to really listen, because you'll find out he talks about the ICE director, John Morton. Now, how many of you listened to last week's show? Do you remember who got Doc Holliday's Tombstone of the Week Award last week? It was John Morton. So make sure you understand what he's saying. And then we're going to get into another discussion he had with Representative United States House of Representative Ron DeSantis. Now, Ron DeSantis, if you remember that name, he's been on our show before, back when Doc Holliday's Tea Party. But he, before he ever ran for Congress, he was on with Doc Holliday, and he's won his seat in Congress at the 6th District in Florida, and he had something to talk about immigration and ask a very important question. So listen to what Chris Kane says, and then after that clip, we're going to hear Representative Ron DeSantis from Florida, a friend of this show, ask him a very important question, and we'll listen to Chris answer that. So I tell you what, I got to have some music. Let's build up some music to get this hearing on the road.
Internally, the agency, in my opinion, is falling apart. Morale is at an all-time low, according to recent federal surveys. The agency refuses to train our officers on these new policies, resulting in mass confusion and frustration. Everybody's doing something different. Nobody really knows what's going on. As our officers are investigated by ICE for enforcing U.S. immigration law, as they see other officers threatened with suspensions for making lawful arrests, increasingly officers feel that they have become the enemy of this administration, which certainly is not a healthy sign for any law enforcement organization. We currently have 11 to 20 million illegal aliens in the United States. They got here one of two ways. They entered the United States illegally, or they came here legally with a visa and never left. So what is ICE doing about visa overstays and illegal entry, as both lie at the very heart of our broken immigration system? ICE has essentially prohibited its agents from enforcing these laws. ICE agents can't arrest aliens solely because they entered the United States illegally or because they overstayed their visa. It's basically not illegal anymore.
Whoa, stop the tape. I got to jump in right here. Did you hear what Chris Kane was saying? It's no longer, the laws do not apply. The laws are non-existent. The members of ICE, the immigration enforcement folks, they've been told, don't arrest people. Don't obey the law. You break the law by not making a law. The Congress has made a law. The executive branch is ignoring the law. Why is ICE in such a disarray? Because people cannot do the job they were sworn to do because of this administration. They're talking about immigration reform. We hear them on the Hill talking about immigration reform, and we got an ICE department, a director, who has said, don't obey the laws. What is someone supposed to do in every business where I work, where most of you work, wherever? You got to obey the law. You don't want the IRS coming on and knocking on the door saying you're breaking the law. You spend thousands of dollars with lawyers and accountants so you obey the law, and then the government officials tell the immigration department to don't obey the law. Don't you dare arrest. Don't you uphold the law of the United States of America. That's what this administration is saying. And it's time somebody stood up and said, what is going on, before we proceed with any more immigration reform? I'm sorry. I just had to jump in there and say something. I just couldn't stand it any longer. Now, let's continue the clip right here with the House Judiciary speaking and asking questions of the president of the Employees Union of the National Immigration and Customs Enforcement Council, 118 of the American Federation of Government Employees, President Chris Kane. Go right ahead, Chris.
Generally speaking, not unless the alien has been convicted of a criminal offense. Messaging is critical to any effort aimed at curbing illegal immigration. So what message does ICE do ICE practices send to the world? The message is, we don't enforce our laws, come on over. And if you do get caught, just lie to us. Lie about the day and year you entered. Lie about going to high school. You won't be required to prove anything. without investigation, without requiring the alien to provide a diploma or a transcript, the alien will simply be released under DACA without first proving he even qualifies for it. Since ICE doesn't investigate these claims or require proof from the alien, is it any big surprise that many ICE agents report that everyone they encounter in jails claims they are somehow qualified under DACA, and that most are released because ICE agents are powerless to make the aliens prove they actually qualify? One agent recently told me a story of how he overheard one alien coaching another on how to get released by lying to ICE agents about having status under DACA. Is this our answer, our big immigration reform, to make law enforcement a joke and let everyone lie to us and then release them? ICE Director John Morton, DHS Secretary Janet Napolitano, as leaders of law enforcement agencies, should be demanding that this stop and that the agency get back to sound law enforcement principles. But they won't, because this is not about effective law enforcement. It's not about fixing our immigration system. Clearly, letting people lie to us and then allowing them to remain in the U.S. based on those lies doesn't fix the system. This is about politics.
The president of this union certainly hit the nail on the head. This is about politics. And the whole immigration reform process is being pushed by a media that sees nothing but 10 million votes for the liberal agenda. The liberal agenda is pushing this without any regard of how it's going to affect our country. And we are in total disarray with immigration now because an administration, if you just heard from Chris Kane, the whole Department of ICE is in disarray. Look, I can tell you personally, in the home, my hometown, the chief of police told me, Ed, we have picked up several illegals. We call ICE in Memphis to come pick them up. And they say, no, we won't. And they say, what do we do? Well, then they ask, well, are they dangerous? And he said, well, they could be. Well, have they been arrested because they've done something dangerous? He said, well, how dangerous does that to be? Well, you tell me what they did. It goes back and forth. They're not going to take anybody unless they slit somebody's throat and they have it on tape, I don't believe. Now, they didn't say it, but basically, whenever your local law enforcement, go call your chief of police. Ask them what they do when they get illegal aliens, when they get somebody, undocumented workers, when they found somebody done a crime. They don't, ICE will not take them unless it's a bloody murder. Now, I don't know what it takes. Somebody should have some outlines. Nobody knows what it takes to get somebody for ICE to come down and pick up. They're going to come down anywhere to pick up two or three. They want you to have 40 or 50 of thieves and murderers before they'll come pick them up, it sounds like. Somebody show me some paperwork. Show me some. They're always telling all the health care officials, well, you need to have checklists. Need to have checklists. Where in the world is the ICE checklist coming from this administration about what law enforcement is supposed to do across this country? It's a shame. It's in shambles. And they're up there on Capitol Hill preaching immigration reform. The president in the State of the Union address is going to talk about this. And his administration is failing. It's not only failing, it's subverting the laws of the United States of America. Shame on this administration. Shame on the mainstream media that won't bring it out. And you hear it right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. Get to somebody who can help. Help these law enforcement officials. Give them some guidance. Let ICE do its job. Then we can talk about immigration reform. That's the way I look at it. It's a shame, a crying shame, that we make laws and the President of the United States disregards them. It's a shame we don't have people and members of Congress of the courage to stand up to a president who's acting illegally. You could impeach and try and get him out of office if he keeps just shredding the United States Constitution. Somebody with some sane backbone, please step up to the plate in the political world. Now, okay, let's take a breather here. I'm going to tell you about a friend of this show. He's in the United States Congress now as a newly elected House of Representatives from the 6th District of Florida, Ron DeSantis. He was at this House Judiciary Committee, and he asked Chris Kane a very, very important question, and we're going to get to that next. But before we do, let me remind you, we got some friends at FreedomWorks. Now, if you haven't been to FreedomWorks, you need to go there, just freedomworks.org, and find out what our good friends in FreedomWorks are doing, because they are a conservative think tank that works across this nation, grassroots, that will help grassroots organizations get going to make sure we can start electing some great conservative leaders. They got great success stories. Look at Ted Cruz in Texas now. He's not afraid to stand up for conservative principles. Marco Rubio, Senator Lee out of Utah, over and over, they have been successful. Now, go there and check them out. That's FreedomWorks, and see what you can do to get involved. And now, I also want to let you know, you can go to my website at Rock Splitting Politics. You can Google that. It'll get you to the show, or get you to my website where you can pick up my book, Rock Splitting Politics. Listen, it's very important that we get the principles and conservative ideas out. This book was written to let you know and not ever feel defeated. Even after the election, there's some people out there depressed. I know it. We've talked about it. And it's time to roll up our shirt sleeves, folks. I love America. That's why I'm doing Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. So you can go to my website at teaparty.ms. You can check out the book. Just Google Rock Splitting Politics, folks. There's not any other book or radio show in the world called Rock Splitting Politics. So check it out. And I hope you order some. There's more books there. That's the thing that helps keep us on the air. And we're going to keep spreading the good, solid, conservative principles. That is the only thing that's going to get this nation turned around. And we can't give up. There's a way to build and build and look for building blocks. Again, go back and listen to our past shows. Go back and listen to the show with Benji Backer, a teenager that's seeing the threat of this spending that's going to kill his future and the future of all the young people across America. It's time for an uprising. We've been playing some of that music from the movie Les Mis. And listen, yeah, do you want to hear the people sing? the song of angry men? Well, it's more just angry men. It's angry young people, men, women, boys, girls. Listen, it's our future. In fact, let's hear a song, and then we're going to go right into the question that United States Representative DeSantis asked.
Do you hear the people sing, singing the song of angry men? It is the music of a people who will not be slaves again. When the beating of your heart echoes the beating of a drum, there is a life about to stop when tomorrow comes.
A lot of this debate is centered around the idea of obviously focusing on 11 million people who are not legal, and then legalizing them, and then we will provide these enforcement measures. Some people say we should have a trigger before the legality, and I guess just based on your experience, I mean, a guy like me who's considering this stuff, how much confidence should I have, based on your experience, that the enforcement mechanisms that are promised by people advocating this legislation and by Congress will actually end up coming to fruition? Because it just seems like, you know, we talk about certain enforcement since 86, and now we're promising certain things. Obviously, the executive has a certain amount of discretion whether they can enforce the law. So what advice would you give me about whether I should believe that we're going to finally start enforcing the law? It's funny you ask me that question, sir, because I'm actually going to be up here next week, and I intended to come up and ask you folks, how do you put something into our legislation that, you know, will guarantee that we're actually going to be able to enforce the laws? Because, I mean, you're talking to somebody right now that we filed a lawsuit to try to be able to do our job. So my confidence level right now, at least with the administration, is zero that we're going to be able to do our jobs now or in the future.
Wow, that was the question from Congressman DeSantis, a friend of this show, been on. I told you that, and you heard Chris Kane's answer that, listen, the congressman asked him, you know, how can we have confidence that if we do something that they'll be enforced? And then Chris Kane said, look, I was going to come up here and ask you, can you do something to make sure that we can enforce the law? It is a joke, people. I spent a lot of time last week trying to talk about the new immigration reform. The press is pushing it. The president's pushing it. And we got a joke of ICE. It's a joke. And we have got to get some cleaned up acts together. And it's not going to happen under this administration unless there's some fire on their feet and the media is the lapdogs. We have no media that ask the tough questions. It's up to people like Doc Holliday to tell you what's going on. And it's a shame that these people are paid millions of dollars on CNN and NBC and CBS. They don't ask the right questions because they don't want to. They don't want to. We need the truth. And that's why you got to listen to Doc Holliday's Rock Split in Politics. Got to move on with the president's going to be talking about the sequesterization. And you know what that is. If anybody's been following that, that's back the deal they made back in 2011. They would have automatic cuts, and that would send a group, a partisan group together, and they'd work things out because nobody wanted to buy partisan cuts. And a cut of $1 trillion. And it hits the military hard, and it hits Medicare hard. So what happens? Well, they put it off at the fiscal cliff. They pushed it down the road two more months. And now the president, he's blinking, okay? The Republicans have finally looked at the political chessboard. And basically they said, okay, Mr. President, just go ahead with the sequester. Doesn't look like you have any leadership. If you want to show us some leadership, you show us your budget. Show us what you're going to do. If not, there's going to be sequesterization. And it's going to cause, the president's going to say it's going to cause a recession. Well, it's going to blanket. The Obamacare is about to cause the recession. They want an excuse. Don't know what's going to happen. But I do like the fact that John Boehner, Speaker of the House, is playing a better, not the best role, but maybe we can get him up there and play a better role in this political chess game. The sequesterization, hey, the best way, I'll have to give credit where credit's due. I heard Rush on his show, Rush Limbaugh, talking about, look, over the next 10 years, we're going to spend $44 trillion is what the estimate is. And with the sequesterization, we're going to cut back a trillion. So instead of about $44 trillion, we're going to spend $43 trillion over the next 10 years. Does that sound like a rough cut? Like he said, it's less 1%, 1%, 1%. And you got President Obama calling, sweating out that what it's going to hurt. But listen, I don't know what to tell you other than that I do feel like I'd rather see sequesterization. I don't see the military hurt, but I can tell you one thing. We're going to supply what the troops need, and President Obama's commander-in-chief, and he can look at the Congress and cry all he wants to because he can cut some things. And if he's not willing to cut it, he's not willing to be a good commander-in-chief. And listen, when I say cut things, he can cut other programs in the government. Doesn't have to be military. He can cut down other programs. That's what he needs to do and get the money where we can protect this country. He's trying to look like, well, we're going to be weaker because of the Congress. No, we're weaker because of the commander-in-chief. And we got to stop playing this little game. And all the press is, you know, wearing their soft gloves and not asking any hard questions. So that's why you need to listen to Doc Holliday's Rock Split in Politics. The other thing is he's going to talk about is this gun control. And, of course, we need a whole show on gun control. I can't really go into all the details. We know There's some things that could happen that could help. But one of the things nobody wants to do is start being told by the government, we need your registration with the government. Starts trying to register everything and wants names and addresses of everybody that has any ammunition, that has even any kind of handgun or gun for protection. Listen, the government wants way too much information now. Let's see if we can find a good bill. But I don't see one out there now. And when we talk about the Second Amendment, you got to remember, it's a civil right. Where's the Civil Rights Division of protecting American civil rights of the Second Amendment to keep and bear arms? So I want to see the Civil Rights Department called out by Congress. That's what we built it for, to protect our civil rights. That's the Second Amendment, one of the Bill of Rights. It is a civil right. So make sure your congressman knows that. And I just got to say this, and I've heard it before and I've thought it many times. How many hours did the press squeeze and turn and twist President George W. Bush over his waterboarding techniques? And yet the President of the United States now says he has the power to kill American citizens without a trial, without a jury. Not going to waterboard, and he's going to shoot a missile and blow them to smithereens and let the collateral damage fall as it may. Now, what is more merciful, to save a life and get information, or to blow them to kingdom come? And I don't see the liberals, the hypocrisy of the liberals who slammed President George W. Bush, and they're not saying a thing, a little squeak, a little whimper. And this president has demanded the right to kill Americans without a trial, without a jury, and he's doing it, okay? He's doing it. Now, would somebody ask him if that's only in foreign countries, or can he kill people in the United States of America too? American citizens, can he do it? Congress is really need to step up on this. And the press, again, where is a decent press? Where are they? And, well, folks, you're going to hear those things in this week with the State of the Union address, but you heard them first right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. And I told you, every week you need to be listening to this show to hear some things you won't hear anywhere else. And we thank you. We thank you because we're growing. We would not be growing if more people weren't listening. And so continue to send those links to your friends and neighbors, because you're going to hear things here you won't hear anywhere else, including this, the Tombstone of the Week Award coming up. And I told you it's going to go to the extreme liberal Southern Poverty Law Center and their hate map. Before we do, I told you I'm going to play this clip from Jonathan Kahn. He again, a friend of this show, and he was on, and you can go back and listen to his show. In fact, I'll link it on, and there's a link to it, because I just want you to get an introduction of what he said at the president's inaugural prayer breakfast. And then really what he said the rest of the time he spent 40 minutes speaking to the group and just laying down the truth, basically. But you can go back and listen to my interview with Jonathan Kahn, and basically he covered what he covered in our interview. So be sure to go back and listen to that if you didn't hear it back when he's on a few weeks back. Now, let's hear this clip from Jonathan Kahn, and then we'll go in right into the Doc Holliday's Tombstone of the Week Award.
Members of the Presidential Inaugural Breakfast Committee and members of Congress who have been here, senators, representatives, ambassadors and delegates from other nations who are here, ministers and people of God and friends and media, we're gathered here in Washington, D.C., America's capital city, on January 21st, 2013, the morning of the presidential inauguration, with one agenda and one purpose: to come before the Lord and in His presence to seek his face and pray for his blessing, his will, and his purposes for its president, its government, this nation, and its people. It is fitting that we do it this day, which more than any other represents the future of America. We're here to inaugurate God's own purposes. We've come here from every part of this land and from every background and persuasion to stand before the Almighty, who transcends politics, movements, and men, and before whom kings and kingdoms rise and fall. Presidents change, political parties come and go, nations ascend and descend before him who changes not, but he remains the same yesterday, today, and forever. We come before him before whom men and women, kings and prophets, peoples and nations have come from ages past, come before him to seek his face in troubled times. We come to pray for America. But how do we do that? How do we pray for this nation? Do we pray for riches, for power, for the success of national agendas? The scriptures tell us that God hears the prayers of his people, but we must pray according to his will. If a man has a terminal disease, we don't pray for an increase in wealth, we pray for healing. If a city lies in danger of destruction, we don't pray with flowery words, we sound the alarm. We pray for blessing, but true blessing only comes in the will of God. So the truth must be spoken as well. We must pray according to the truth, and we must not be afraid to speak the truth. We must give voice to what must be spoken. We must sound the alarm that must be sounded. We must address what must be addressed. And so the message now will not be politically correct, nor will it be political. It will be biblical. It will be true. And wherever it falls, let it fall. I will not hold back. And if I offend you, I apologize that I cannot apologize for offending you. Without truth, there is no love.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, my friends from Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics audience, let me just tell you that Jonathan Cahn did lay it on the line. And if you want to listen to it, you can look it up on YouTube, the Presidential Inauguration Breakfast, Prayer Breakfast. So I advise you, go. It's about 40 minutes long, but he laid down the law and talked to basically what he did of our interview. So you can go back and listen to my interview with Jonathan Cahn, and pretty much he covered a lot of things that we covered on the radio show. And now it's time for this week's Tombstone of the Week Award. And I tell you, this is a very serious one. I've given it out over the past few years and for different things, but this is very, very serious because of Floyd Lee Corkins II. You ever heard of him? Of course not, because no mainstream media is not going to push his name like they do other killers. But he wanted to kill. Why did he want to kill? Well, he went into the Family Research Council in D.C. And you may remember that last year. It was August the 15th, 2012. He went in and he told the FBI agents that he chose the Family Research Council as a target based on the Southern Poverty Law Center's hate map. And if you're not aware, the Southern Poverty Law Center has designated the Family Research Council a hate group because of its conservative organization's position on gay marriage. And we can talk about politics. I do here. But more than likely, I'd be put on their hate map. Why would somebody have a hate map? And then where's the liberal media to tell them to get it off the air because people could die? Listen, he said, this is what Corkins told the FBI agents. He said that he wanted to go in, and he told the FBI that he wanted to kill anti-gay targets and went into the Law Center's website to find out where somebody that he could kill. And then he went on to say that if you remember, he had because of the at that time Chick-fil-A and the CEO, founder, president of Chick-fil-A had said they were going to back traditional marriage. Now that seems very, very revolutionary, doesn't it? You're going to back traditional marriage, but this guy is fed, may have mental problems. They don't say. It just says that he intended to kill as many people as possible. This is, quote, the FBI agent said, quote, that Corkins wanted to kill as many as possible and smear the Chick-fil-A sandwiches in the victims' faces and kill the guard. This guy went in to kill. Hate crime. And yet the Southern Poverty Law Center says they're a hate group. Now, I know folks at the Family Research Council. I've met many of them. Wonderful, wonderful people. And they're very conservative, but they don't like backing down. And because of that, and they believe in traditional marriage. So they're called a hate group by the left wingers. So that's why Doc Holliday's Tombstone of the Week Award is going out to the Southern Poverty Law Center. Now, it had a heyday in the civil rights to really help out and did some good things and bringing about equality in racial matters in the Deep South. But it is fiercely extremist when you call people a hate group because they're for traditional marriage. Absolutely disgusting. And they got a hate map where people can look on their website and go see everybody they call a hate group. Anybody that's for traditional marriage, and if it's you, your house, your name, you're going to be put on a hate group list. Absolutely, it's a shame. Their hate map should be buried 6 feet beneath the tombstone. And if it's not, there's going to be people ultimately dying because of their just the way they are brazenly daring people to go out and do harmful things to people they oppose politically. It's one thing to talk about politics. We have freedom of speech, freedom of religion. When you start pointing people out and making them targets, it's time for the mainstream media to get off their rear end and get something done that's positive. This media is nothing but a lapdog for the far left agenda. And it's destroying our country along with their ideas. So it's up to us, the conservatives, to get together and work hard. Don't give up. Roll up your shirt sleeves. There are some good things are going to happen. I can't tell you what or how, but like Margaret Thatcher said, socialism works till you run out of other people's money. The thing about America is we've built up so much good credit. We've had such good shoulders to stand on, you know, over the past generations that we can keep borrowing money when we run out of everybody else's. And somehow, some way, I have faith in the Americans like you that listen to this show, and I believe in America. I believe, like Samuel Adams said, you can go to the people. We took a licking this last election. We thought we could go to the people and we were going to win. But there's a lot of, like they say, low information voters out there. And we're going to have to make a stand and make a principled statement and articulate the simple truth that conservatism is America's best hope to bring about great things in the future. Okay. God bless you. I will see you next week on another edition, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, a great show. We're working on it right now.
Thanks for joining us today. And remember to listen again next week for another edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can order Ed's new book, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, Tea Party versus the Status Quo, by clicking on the book cover right in front of you on the screen. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.